I want you to turn back tonight to that 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Now I'm going to read a few verses, beginning in verse 26. Romans 8. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Apostle Paul here speaks for all of God's people. He uses this "we" representing all the people of God, God's believing people, who all confess that there are some things that we don't know and some things that we do know. And strangely enough, it is because both are taught by the Spirit of God. We know these things by the grace of God. In verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's something that we know, and that is that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. If we've been made honest by the Spirit of God, if we've been taught of God, we know that. Because we know from His Word that His ways are not our ways. The ways of God are not natural to us. We don't know the details. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know our own heart as it is. And that makes, I'm afraid, most of our prayers sinful. We're like the disciples and like the mother of one or two of the disciples who asked the Lord if one of her sons could sit on the right hand and one on the left hand when he came into his kingdom. And he said, "You don't know what you are asking." And then on another occasion, the disciples came back to the Lord and they said of some, "Shall we call down fire out of heaven on them?" And he said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are." We don't know naturally what we should pray for. And that's evidenced in our life every day, in every way, in everything. Our prayers are selfish. Our prayers are directly against the will of God. Our prayers are without knowledge and without understanding. And when we're taught of God, we know that we don't know how to pray as we ought. But we know that the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. You see, we have infirmities because of our sin, because of the nature of sin. Infirmities mean feebleness of mind. It means weakness and frailties. In other words, sin has left us with these infirmities. But he says the Spirit helps our infirmities. And you see, everything that is contrary to God's purpose is sin. Everything that is against God's will and purpose is wrong. We know what is right by what God does. And we have 20/20 hindsight. In other words, we know that what has happened is right, and we know what is happening is right because it is God's will. In other words, we know if it happened, we know if it came to pass. It happened and it came to pass because God willed it. Now, how do we know that God willed it? Because he says and he tells us in the Bible that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. There is only one free will in the universe. There is only one will that will be done, and that's the will of God. So if it happens, if it has already happened, or if it is happening, everything is according to the will of God. And I saw where one man had written something like not taking that too far by including sin in it. But that cannot be right, because everything that we do is tainted with sin. So in order for God to work all things after the counsel of his will, it would have to include our sins, because everything we do is sin. But we also know that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us. In other words, we know we don't know how to pray and what to pray for. We know that all things that happen, happen according to the will of God. But we know that the Spirit of God, taking our infirmities into consideration, he makes intercession for us. He acts on our behalf. He acts on our behalf before God, and he intercedes based on the will of the Father. You see, in religion often sets the will of the Father and the will of the Son and the will of the Spirit in direct contradiction with each other. But it says here that He knows the will of the Father, He knows the will of the Son, and His will is the same, and the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What in the world does that mean? Well, I guess you would say the Spirit knows the language as well as the will of the Godhead, of all the persons of the Godhead. And it says in verse 27, "And He that searcheth the hearts," the Spirit of God who searches our hearts, He knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Think about how many times, if we're honest, how many times we have asked God amiss, as Christ called it. Think about how many times we have asked God, prayed for, tried to get God to do things that were entirely against His will. I'm afraid that more often than not, we ask Him directly contradictory and contrary to His will, rather than His will. Because we enter into prayer so quickly, so without thought, so disregarding God. But it says that the Spirit knows the mind of the Father, and the Father already knows the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. You see, when the Bible says, if we ask anything, that we know we have it. How can you ask for something and be assured and know that you will have it? There's just one way. When we ask according to the will of God. When we ask according to the will of God. He says He makes intercession for the saints. Not everybody, but for these sanctified ones, these separated ones that are separated by the Father in election, that are separated by the Son in redemption, and that are separated by the Spirit in regeneration. They're saints. And He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That makes prayer to be something totally different than most people think that it is. I read something recently about somebody who was comparing doing something or asking for something, and he said it's futile, as we know that prayer is. Well, he says you have. I mean, you ask because you have not, because you ask amiss. And so true prayer doesn't change God. That's why we think that we're going to send up enough prayers to God to change God, the unchangeable and perfect one. But true prayer doesn't change God, and neither does it change His perfect will. It doesn't change His perfect will. Well, you say, if it doesn't change His perfect will, if it doesn't change God, if it doesn't change His mind about something, why pray? Well, the thing is here, and the Spirit of God is the one that accomplishes this work in us. The Spirit of God makes intercession according to the will of God, and He, in the process, works in our heart to make us desire the same thing. You see, the Spirit of God, when we really pray, and we pray the prayer that is directed and accomplished in us by the Spirit of God, that true prayer brings our hearts and our minds in conformity to the will of God. And makes us submissive to it. And causes us to see the wisdom in it. And makes us, in at least part, find a delight and an encouragement and a love for it. And Christ Himself, He taught us to pray that. He taught us to pray. And when He gave us that model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, but the model prayer for believers, He taught us to pray this: Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He not only prayed that, I mean, He not only taught us to pray that, He taught us, and only the Spirit of God working in us can accomplish that in us. But He not only taught us to pray that, told us to pray this way, but He also prayed Himself this way. He said, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. I've got that part pretty much down in my life. I'll say, Lord, take this away. Take this affliction. Take this problem. Take this circumstance. If it be possible, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But now I haven't got the next part so much. He says, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And when the Spirit of God intercedes for us and brings us in this true spirit of prayer, this true submissiveness, this true prayer according to the will of God, He makes us to be conformed to it, and He gives us assurance and comfort and confidence, and enables us to see the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the love of God, and the power of God. So that we know that all things If you like universal statements, you can take that one with you. All things. We don't know how we're to pray. We have this infirmity. Often have many infirmities that hinder us in this submission to the will and the wisdom of God. We don't know these things, but the Spirit makes intercession for us and brings us to this knowledge, this confidence, that all things, what we call good, what we call bad, when in truth, there can't be anything bad for a believer. All things. You say, but what about this? All things. He says, all things work. Who works them? Well, we're working just as hard. Most of the time I'm thinking against the will and providence of God, but He works harder than we do. The triune God works, has ordered and ordained all things, and carries them out by hand of predestination and sovereign power. All things. He works all things. If He didn't, He couldn't accomplish His purpose. If He didn't, He could not assure us of our salvation. He works all things. He decreed it, and then He entrusted it in the hands of His sovereign King and Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He carries it out mightily by the power of His Spirit. He works. Some people seem to think that God created the world, wound it up, and walked off from it. But He works. He works all things together. You can't consider any isolated thing to be good in itself, maybe, but He works all things together. I always think about, when I think about this verse, I always think about counted cross stitch. You know anything about counted cross stitch? Well, you look on the back of a piece of counted cross stitch that one of these ladies have done, and it looks absolutely helter-skelter, a mess, some knots and strings, and it just looks like it has no rhyme or reason. But turn it over on the front side and see a beautiful picture of beautiful words that have been stitched into the cloth. And that's the way it is with God. When we look at things with the natural eye, we can't see how any rhyme, good, or reason, anything could be beneficial to us or anybody. We cannot see by our eye. But if we could see things as God saw it. I never forget Brother Scott Richardson. He said, if we could see things like God sees them, we wouldn't change a thing. We wouldn't change not one thing. Because He says, then all things work together for good. I'm afraid our definition of good is a lot different than God's definition. Look over at what he says in Psalm 119. In verse 71. This is a psalmist writing here, being enlightened by the Spirit of God. He says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Affliction, he said, was good. Sorrow, good. Pain, good. Everything, good. Not for everybody. It's good because it's the eternal good purpose of God. But he said it is good to them that love God. I used to read that and I would think, that's the problem right there. And that is my love for God. I believe it was Newton who, in that hymn, asked the question, do I know the Lord or not? Do I love the Lord or not? And I thought about that. I'm sure that we're oftentimes brought to that place in our experience where because of sin, because of failure, because of what we realize ourselves to be, we question our love for God. I don't even like to sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Your daddy didn't love, he didn't like that song either. Because it sounds like I'm saying something that is so great, that is so pitiful. But he said, we love him because he first loved us. We don't love him like he deserves to be loved. We don't love him like we ought to love him. We don't love him like one day we will love him. But we love him. To them that love God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." For them that love him. Turn on over into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, the last verse of the book of Ephesians, verse 24. He says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." That love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And look over in the book of James. The book of that austere man, James, that so many have problems with, it seems like. Look at James 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him."
Look in chapter 2 and verse 5.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Believers love God. They love God as he is. They love him as he sets himself forth in the Word, in his own Word. They love him for what he is, and they love him for what he does. And they love him because the Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in their hearts. They know of his love for them who loved us and gave himself for us. Who are the called? The called. That can mean the named. The named. That means his elect. That means those that he chose, he named. That can mean those that he calls by the gospel, effectually and mightily by his Spirit to bring them to believe the gospel of his grace and truth. They're the call. According to his purpose. I'll never forget in that Southern Baptist church in the deacons' meeting when what I was preaching was being questioned and rebuked and stuff. One of the deacons that was just, oh, he was idolized by everybody. And I said something, I quoted some verse that showed the grace and the glory of God, the sovereign grace of God. He said, that's not according to whole. Now, I'm not too up on this, but I believe Hall was the authority on bridge, wasn't he? Playing bridge, card game. And he said, that's not according to Hall. But it's according to this book. And salvation, as well as every part of it, every detail of it, every person it involves, which is God's elect, the call, them that love God, everything that happens is according to his purpose. Purpose. As Barnard told Henry that time, everything God does, he does on purpose. Paul said to Timothy, speaking of him, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Which was given us. His purpose and grace. His salvation, his calling, given us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world ever was. Before we were born, before we breathe the breath, before we sin, before we ever made a choice or exercise a will or anything. That's why we're saved. And that's why He gets all the glory. And that's why we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. We don't know how to pray most things. We don't know what to ask. We don't know what's good for us. We don't know what's good for our friends, our families, our loved ones. We just don't know. But He knows. And the Spirit of God brings us in submission to God's will, and we pray, "But not my will be done, but thine. Thy purpose be accomplished. Lord, do what you will, and it'll be good. It'll work somehow for good. Your glory and our good." And by faith, and by our past experiences, but mainly by the Spirit of God, we know it. We know it. Our Father, we ask you tonight to speak to our hearts. Grant to us your comfort and your assurance in the knowledge of what you accomplish according to your purpose and providence in our lives. Give us grace to submit willingly, to love you for all that you have in wisdom and grace done for us and are doing for us. And we pray that you would get all the glory and all the honor unto yourself. Help us when we don't know. Make intercession for us by your Spirit according to your will, which is good and wise and perfect. We thank you and we pray in Christ's name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask all things in the name of thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.